The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, who would have thought at the end of week five, we would have us the first head coach who was fired of the season, and that is New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh. He was fired yesterday. Apparently, nobody knew about it. Apparently, the owner was just fed up and decided to fire him yesterday, and they apparently escorted him out of the building so he couldn't even go get his shit in the office, so that's how they felt about that, but the Jets season was already kind of meh, and now it just got really, really crazy. Should be a very interesting, rest of the season for them, but who would have thought? I did not think we were going to have a coach get fired this early on in the season, but hey, that's what happens in the NFL, and so we have our first head coach in the NFL who is fired, and that is Robert Saleh of the New York Jets. Moving on to Monday Night Football. And the game that was the New Orleans Saints at the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs got the win 26-13. But I'm just going to say it. The Kansas City Chiefs are like the most fucking boring team to watch this year. I mean, Jesus Christ. Yes, they are undefeated. Congratulations to them. But pretty much every game that's shoved down our throat, because they are shoved down our throat in every way, shape, and form, and as they should be, because they are the Super Bowl champs, two-time Super Bowl champs. So I get it. But Jesus Christ, they are so fucking boring to watch. They are so boring that I fell asleep in the fourth quarter. That is how boring this game was. It's like they just get field goals. That is all they do. They might have like a big play here and there, but it's pretty much just Patrick Mahomes keeping their heads above water. And the defense is good as hell, but for the most part, it is a boring-ass team, and I'm glad they have a bye week coming up this week, because I'm just sick of seeing their boring-ass play on the field, because that is the only word to describe them is boring. And yes, they are 5-0, but they are a boring-ass 5-0 team. And also, in this Monday Night Football game, the New Orleans Saints weren't doing that well, but then David Carr got hurt in the fourth quarter. Ended up injuring his oblique, and now he's going to be out, it looks like, at least a month-ish in that area. So they are going to be missing him. So we'll see how that goes for them. But just overall, it was a terribly boring-ass game. And that's pretty much how I felt about all of the Kansas City Chiefs games so far this year. Is could I try and keep my eyes open for this one? Because they're just so fucking boring. Anyways, let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings. Not a lot of crazy movement. Of course, the top two basically remain the same, but everybody else is just a bit shuffled around, because there really hasn't been a lot of teams really stepping out and standing out above others, except for a couple, of course. But overall, everybody's pretty much still in it. So let's get started with number one. Still remains the Minnesota Vikings for me. They're 5-0, and to me, they are a complete team. At least so far, they're playing a complete team. Defensively, they've got 20 sacks on the season and 11 interceptions on the season. And that is just crazy when it's only weeks. We're headed into week six. They've had 5 weeks to do that. And that's sometimes that you need like 8 weeks to do what they did. So they are looking great defensively. They look pretty solid offensively as well. This last game against the Jets, they didn't like light anybody up. But, I mean, of course, they're not going to do that in every single game. But, I mean, so far, they've pretty much been the most complete team. They were tested in the last game, and they actually passed the test. They were able to just overcome the few mistakes that they made and just were able to capitalize on all the mistakes that the Jets made. But, to me, the Minnesota Vikings look like the most complete team, at least at this point in the season. Then at number two, we have the boring-ass Kansas City Chiefs at 5-0. Like I said, it's pretty much just all Mahomes and the defense on this one. It's everybody else is just either injured or just not really performing well. And like I said, it's just like field goal fest. And it feels like every game that they play, the losing team really beats themselves. And I mean, hey, you can't really, I'm not saying they don't deserve those 5 wins. Of course they do. I'm just simply saying that it's like the other team just completely shits the bed as soon as they see the Kansas City Chiefs on the field. And it's like there's so many times where they could almost sack the quarterback, but they don't, or they give up these big-ass plays that they shouldn't, and then the Chiefs get down the field, and then they just kick a stupid-ass field goal. So that's pretty much what we're getting from the Chiefs this year, but whatever, they're still 5-0. And like I said, thankfully, a bye week this week, so I don't have to fall asleep mid-game. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that is now on the rise and also a team I believe that is a very complete team, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. Overall record of 3-2. They have got it going on the ground. Derrick Henry still leads the league in rushing with 572 yards and 6 touchdowns. He just gets better with each and every game. Lamar Jackson is just in beast mode this year. I feel like the receivers still need to kind of break out at certain points, so I feel like they could grow there. But defensively, they are stout. They are the typical Baltimore Ravens defense. And I feel like every single game they're getting better. And they just got tested by their division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, last week in a shootout. And they passed the test. And when you do that, that just always that gives you a boost. And it also just makes me look at you as you always need to overcome adversity at certain points in the season. And that was a big point of adversity for the Ravens because it looked like they were going to lose that game, but they just kept going. And even if they'd fumble it, they'd just come back and they just keep coming back. And eventually they got the win. And they just look really good right now. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 4-1, C.J. Stroud, he's already passed for over 1,000 yards. He's almost at 1,500 yards. He's got 1,385 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions on the season. So he's making the big plays when he needs to. He's made some stupid mistakes at certain points, but he's so far been bouncing back from those mistakes. So he's looking like he's growing in his second year. And then, of course, as I continue to talk about the Houston Texans, their defense is just so good. They're able to just really take over any game and really make sure that the offense is able to stick with it and just at least stay in breathing distance of at least a field goal or hopefully a game-winning touchdown or something of that nature. Their defense is always keeping them in it, for sure. And then the offense is just able to get it going when they have to. But I kind of feel like the offense still has not even reached their best potential. I feel like the receivers, they could still go off. I just kind of feel like C.J. Stroud hasn't even really played his best football of the season yet. So I actually expect the Houston Texans to get better as the season rolls on, especially on the offensive side of things. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 3-1, and they're just coming off of a bye week, so I couldn't drop them, couldn't raise them as well. I mean, I feel like they are another team that looks pretty solid. I mean, offensive line, defensive line, they dominate on both ends. Then they have an excellent ground game with Montgomery and Gibbs. They have some reliable-ass receivers, and I mean, honestly, their only weakness is if Jared Goff is under too much pressure, then that tends to be an issue. And then, of course, their secondary can get blown up as well. But, I mean, overall, the Detroit Lions look like a pretty solid team right now. And, like I said, coming off of a bye week, so no negative things to say about them yet. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Washington Commanders. Overall record of 4-1. And, of course, this team is just all about Jaden Daniels. He's passed for 1,135 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's been getting it done on the ground as well. He's just been really extremely accurate, especially for a rookie quarterback. He's really not had a lot of mistakes. He really hasn't had what you would call like a rookie game where he's just on his ass and just throwing interceptions and making really stupid moves, which I wouldn't be shocked if that does happen because he is a rookie. But so far, he's looked really good and been extremely accurate and just delivers a precise pass just about every time. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 3-2. This is another team that I look at as being pretty complete. Defensively, they actually have a lot of turnovers. As a matter of fact, Their safety McKinney leads the league in interceptions with 5 interceptions, and then as a defense as a whole, they have 9 interceptions. So they're really getting the turnovers. And then turning to the offensive side of things, now they got Jordan Love back. He played well last week. And played well at the end of the game the previous week, so he's starting to look better as the season wears on. And then, of course, Josh Jacobs, now they're starting to get a ground attack going. While Love was out, they actually were able to build on that. And so they look like they're building a pretty solid team. They do have some drama with Dobbs, their wide receiver. He feels like he hasn't been getting enough looks, and so it looks like they're probably going to trade him, and that seems to be an issue. But, I mean, overall, I don't look at Dobbs as being this make or break type guy for them, so I kind of feel like that's not going to be some type of morale breaker for this team. I feel like they're going to get better as the season rolls on. Excuse me. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 3-2. These last couple of games, they've pretty much just gotten in their own way. I mean, actually, these last losses, this last one especially. I mean, they really should have beat the Atlanta Falcons in this last game. And they just completely got in their own way by not taking the clock down, by fumbling the ball, they just legitimately got in their own way. And then they, of course, didn't stop the Falcons on the last drive. And like I said, they got in their own way. So, you can see that they have holes, but at the same time, offensively, I really like what I see from this team, and I feel like they can keep up with anybody that they play with on the offensive side of the ball. It's really just their defense can sometimes be questionable, and then they also are kind of shaky with the turnovers. But, I mean, overall, I feel like this team offensively really fucking solid, and I really like what I see from them. And so far in their 2 losses, I feel like they just completely have got in their own way. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that is just tumbling, and that is the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 3-2. And honestly, it's just somebody else has to step up besides Josh Allen, as we've seen in their 2 losses. When it's all on Josh Allen, it just becomes an issue because he has no standout receiver. I mean, honestly, with Devontae Adams out there on the trade market, I would probably, if I'm the Bills and you're able to make that type of trade, I would be heavily going after Devontae Adams, just because I feel like the ground attack with Cook, not looking too bad, but he just doesn't show up every single game. But as far as the receivers go, they don't have any solid receivers. So I feel like you add in Devontae Adams, that could definitely change the way things happen with this offense. But so far, it's just all Josh Allen. And it's in week 5, you could tell it's already starting to become an issue because he's been getting injured. It feels like in every game he suffered some type of small injury. And then in the last game, it kind of looked like he suffered a concussion, but they didn't take him out. So very weird. But I mean, overall, it's just you could tell too much pressure is on him and he has to do everything. And so far, it has not been working in the last 2 games for them. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings, honestly, once I got to the 10 area, it was really difficult to decide who to put here because there's just so many teams that are basically in the same boat right now. So I just decided to put my Dallas Cowboys there, A, because I'm a Cowboys fan, but B, I really wanted to talk about Dak Prescott and the season that he's having, just because I love haters on Dak Prescott. It's really amusing because he's actually just gotten better over the last couple of years. And yes, he's had his mistakes, but so the fuck is Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is like 5 or 6 interceptions on the season. Are we holding it against him? No. Not saying Dak is Mahomes either. I'm just simply pointing out that Dak is pretty much the only good thing about this team so far. Him and CeeDee Lamb. They're the only 2 reliable guys currently at this point in time. And Dak's actually 2nd in the league with passing, with 1,424 yards passing, 8 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So he's actually been pretty solid this year. And it was actually nice to see him as well in the last game actually overcome adversity, all those stupid turnovers he had. And he didn't give a fuck. He just erased that from his brain and drove the team down the field for the game-winning touchdown. So those are things I like to see in my quarterback. And I fully support him. And I just find it so amusing to listen to to people talk about him and criticize him when he's most certainly not the issue with the team. As a matter of fact, he's one of the few bright spots we have on the team. But I actually did like what I saw from the Cowboys defensively. I like that we finally have a ground attack, at least in the last couple of games. Hopefully, Dowdle can kind of emerge as that dude on a regular basis. But until he does, we can't count on that. But I just really wanted to talk about Dak because I really like what I see from him this season, especially in that last game, overcoming the adversity that he went through to start the game with the stupid fumble, the stupid interceptions, and he still had the chance to win it, and he drove them down the field and overcame that bullshit and won the game. So, moving on to Thursday night football and week six this week, we actually have us a pretty solid matchup this week on Thursday night football. It's the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Niners are a 3.5-point favorite. This is usually, over the years, has been an excellent matchup, especially when these two teams are powerhouse teams. This is always an excellent matchup. Over the last, I want to say, three seasons, Seahawks have been not a very good team, so the matchup hasn't been as intriguing, but I feel like this one is because I feel like Seattle this time around is the better team. The Niners are not only battling through injuries, but they really haven't played any type of consistent football. Defensively, they look really good. I mean, they're causing turnovers, they're getting sacks, they're having no issues there. But it's offensively, they really have not found the same identity that they've had. And of course, you know, no Christian McCaffrey, that definitely changes the way this team looks. But they've had some turnovers, uncharacteristic turnovers. That's just something that's not... it's just not something they've done over the last couple of years, especially under Kyle Shanahan. So they just don't look like the same team to me, whereas Seattle actually looks like a hungry, juiced up team, and they're coming off of a couple of losses here that they're probably not feeling too good about. Niners are coming off of a pretty bad loss as well, but like I said, the Niners just don't look that good, whereas Seattle, their defense is playing very good. They have a great ground attack. They actually have some really solid receivers, and Geno Smith has just proven that he's a starter in this league, and he's actually been stepping it up every single game and really minimizing the mistakes and making some big plays when necessary. So this one, I do expect it to be an old school San Francisco 49ers Seattle Seahawks matchup where it's a battle till the end. I feel like it's going to be one of those where the winner is going to be on like a game winning drive or a game winning defensive stand, like at the goal line where they're able to just hold them back on like a fourth and goal. So I think it's going to be a battle all the way through. But I do have the Seahawks winning 24-21. One, because they're at home. Two, I do kind of feel like they're probably going to split these matchups. So I'm going to just lean towards Seattle in this one. And like I said, I feel like Seattle's playing better football right now than the 49ers are, and they have a much better identity. But honestly, I wouldn't be shocked whichever way this one goes. All right, now moving on to college football and the top 12 rankings this week. And my Texas Longhorns are back right where they belong, right up at number one. We had a bye week, but thanks to Vanderbilt kicking the shit out of Alabama, we took back the top spot. We knew we were going to end up there again anyways, but thank you, Alabama, for keeping it warm for a week. But Texas coming off of the bye week, and it is a big week this week. They better not be overlooking number 18, Oklahoma. This is always a big matchup. No matter who is the better team, no matter who is the shitty team, no matter what happened in the previous game or what's been going on in the season, it does not matter. This is a game that always matters to both teams. So the Longhorns better not overlook OU because so far the SEC has been taking some losses over the last couple of weeks. And Texas kind of feels like they're primed for that next to tumble. But hopefully they're not. And like I said, they'll be playing OU this weekend. Then at number two, moving up a spot, we have Ohio State, who just smashed Iowa 35-7. They will be playing number three, Oregon, this week. So we've got us a headbanger right at the top. And as I just said, number three is Oregon. They moved up three spots after they took out Michigan State 31-10. That's going to be probably the biggest game of the week, obviously, because it's number two and three. So this is a big deal for both teams. Then at number four, we have Penn State, who moved up three spots as well. They just beat UCLA 27-11. They will be playing at USC this weekend. Then at number five, we have Georgia. They're 4-1 on the season. They just smashed Auburn 31-13. They are at Mississippi State, or they play Mississippi State this weekend. Then at number six, we have Miami moving up a couple of spots. They are 6-0 on the season. They've had a couple of real close ones. They had a close one against Cal, 39-38, but they still eked it out and still looking like a pretty good team so far. They will be, they actually have a bye this week, and they'll be at Louisville next week. Then at number seven, taking the biggest tumble this week, down six spots, Alabama. They just got smashed 40-35 by Vanderbilt. Now, the final score is a close score, but actually Vanderbilt dominated this game from the jump. And Vanderbilt, this is the first time Vanderbilt has ever beaten a ranked team, a number one ranked team, too. So that was pretty funny to see, not only because I was happy my Longhorns got up at number one, but you know, I feel like a lot of us, unless you're an Alabama fan, we're all sick of Alabama. So anytime they lose, I think we're all pretty much happy except Alabama fans. And they will be playing South Carolina this weekend. Then at number eight, dropping four spots this week is Tennessee. They suffered a bad loss this week against Arkansas, 19-14. They will be playing Florida this weekend. Then at number nine, Ole Miss, they moved up three spots. They just took out South Carolina, 27-3. They will be at number 13, LSU, this weekend, so that's another big one. Then at number 10, we have Clemson moving up five spots. They're 4-1 on the season, and they just took out Florida State, 29-13. They will be at Wake Forest this weekend. Then we have two teams that are tied at number 11. That is Iowa State. They've moved up five spots. They are 5-0 on the season. And they just took out Baylor 43-21. It will be at West Virginia this weekend. And then the other number 11 team, Notre Dame, moving up three spots. They are 4-1 on the season. They just took out Louisville 31-24. And they will be playing Stanford this weekend. And we do have some playoff baseball still going on. So moving on to the ALDS. We had game two against the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians, and the Detroit, and it was a pitching battle. It was pretty much 0-0 all the way till the ninth inning, and the Tigers were able to get a couple guys on base, and who would have thought Kerry Carpenter was going to hit a three-run home run off of Emmanuel Clase, the best closer in the league. He never chokes. He never gives up the big runs. He always is reliable. That's why he was in the game. Well, sometimes they'll get you. And Kerry Carpenter got him. And the Detroit Tigers won game two, 3-0. And then they also just won game three today, 3-0. So Detroit is up 2-1 on the Cleveland Guardians. And they play game four tomorrow. So Detroit could either A, be moving on to the ALCS, or we could have us a game five on Friday. Then the other matchup in the ALDS, we have the Kansas City Royals at the New York Yankees, and the Kansas City Royals dominated game two. They took the win 4-2. Perez had a home run. Pham had a hit. Hampson, Garcia, a lot of guys came in and had some big games, but, you know, the Perez home run was a big deal just because, you know, he's the veteran, and he basically just got it going for them. And so this series is tied up at one. We have game three tonight. Should be starting here in about an hour. And then in the NLDS, we have the New York Mets against the Philadelphia Phillies. In game three, the Mets dominated the Phillies 7-2. Sean Manaea pitched a gem. He went seven innings with six strikeouts and no earned runs. So he dominated. And Alonso, he was the first to hit a home run in this one. Winker hit a home run. And the Mets just got it going offensively, obviously, with their 7-2 win. And right now, actually, game three is on. It's in a commercial break. It's coming back from it. So let's see where we're at with this one. Right now, it's 1-0 Phillies in the bottom of the sixth. So looking like another close one between these two, but it could change. The Mets have been known to score in the end here. And if the Mets win, they're moving on to the NLCS tonight. So we'll see what happens in that one. And then the last matchup in the NLDS, we had the San Diego Padres against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Padres just absolutely dominated game three. They won 6-5. In the second inning, San Diego scored six runs, and it looked like it was just completely out of reach for the Dodgers, but then they loaded up the bases. Teoscar Hernandez came right up and hit a grand slam, so it looked like it was going to change the trajectory of the game. Ended up, it just stayed at 6-5 the rest of the way, and the Padres got the game three win, and they could close tonight's NLDS out against the Dodgers in San Diego. So, and they have really just dominated them offensively. So I would not be shocked to see the San Diego Padres end it all tonight. Now, I'm obviously hoping for that because fuck the Dodgers, y'all. But anyways, we'll see how that goes and see how the rest of the baseball playoffs shape up. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.